Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. We're excited to have with us today Shannon Leishner. Now, if you haven't had the opportunity to tune in and hear Shannon on the show in the past, she is just really an extraordinary human being. If you get interested, in fact, after this episode, you can always go back and retrace some of the other episodes that we've done in the past about energy and how it applies in the workplace and how important it is that negative and positive energy can impact us, which is exactly what Shannon and I are going to be talking about today. So today I have with me Shannon Leishner, who is a world-renowned psychic medium and energy worker who was born with powerful inherited abilities from generations of truly gifted family members. For over 20 years, she has been changing people's lives through intuitive life path coaching and angelic communication in order to help people from all over the world overcome physical and mental traumas, limiting self-beliefs, and to help them find their divine life purpose. Shannon has an extraordinary ability to communicate, interact with, and cross over spiritual beings. Her immense relationship with the angelic realm has taught her that there is definitely more to this world than what we are able to see. Quite often, in performing energy work on a client, she intuitively sees the root cause of an ailment or trauma and helps to shift the energy or to alleviate all that doesn't belong or serve. In addition to her psychic capacity, she also is a certified life coach and has a master's in public administration and is a martial arts master with a 6-degree black belt in several styles. She's been a featured speaker and radio guest at ECETI International Conference in Washington and has also produced 2 subliminal wellness CDs. She's appeared on numerous radio shows, including my own. She's also appeared on the Kim Iverson Show, Darkness Radio, Be the Light Now, and many other things. I'm so happy to have you back on the show again, Shannon. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jennifer. It's always a honor to be on your show.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, it's so great to have you on, especially right now. I was actually just having a conversation with somebody about this very topic today. I know you and I formulated this topic recently about the negative energy that's out there. I know a lot of people are just feeling at the effect of it and having panic attacks and stressed at the workplace. And sometimes people, if they're not in tune with their own energy or their own bodies and they haven't done metaphysical work on themselves, they don't understand what is causing that. So tell our listeners a little bit about your background first, in case they haven't heard any of the shows, and then we can talk a little bit about how do we combat this negative energy that's out there in the world right now.
Well, like you said, I was born, you know, able to see spirits and I guess intuitively connected to the divine energy. Throughout my life, I spent a lot of time being fearful of spirits because of I literally grew up in a house. It was just like Amityville Horror, so it was pretty scary. Spirits scared me for a long time, which is actually funny because my last name means of the dead, which I think is kind of funny. You know, to have a medium who's scared of spirits is not really a good thing to go through life with. So at 33, I did all the normal stuff. I had my own nonprofit. I got a master's degree. I did the whole normal job thing, and I wasn't happy. I always wanted to go back to my roots, which I called, you know, my intuition being my roots. I always wanted to learn more. I always wanted to develop more, and I was never able to. I always felt pressure to be a quote normal person. Mm-hmm. And so at 33, I was diagnosed with a very serious heart condition and given a short time to live. And that opens your eyes pretty quickly to what's going on. But because I was in such a depressed state, because I was not living my path, I actually was okay with it. Until a friend of mine says, "Do you know that you actually have to come back and live this life all over again?" And I said, "Wait a second. No. I'm getting my exit papers. I don't have to come back." And she says, "Have you fulfilled any of your past?" And I said, well, yes, you know, I've helped people, I've done this. She says, no. She goes, what have you wanted to do your entire life and not been able to do it? She goes, that's your path. And so finally, I followed. I decided, you know what, the little time that I have, I will make sure that I do everything I can to make a, you know, a difference in as many people's lives as I can. Well within 8 months, my heart condition had gone away.
That's incredible.
So it was a testament to the fact that I was living my path. And so I've been doing it ever since, and it's been 9 years now. And it's grown so vastly, because I started out as, I used to call myself a medium. And I say, well, I'm only a medium, I don't do anything else. And that's the biggest, you know, biggest fallacy in the world. No one is just a medium. And so I decided to make my toolbox a little bit bigger. And as I decided to grow my toolbox and develop my abilities, I started to communicate with the angels. I started to learn healing and learn about energy. And so I've dedicated 9 years of my life to really learning everything I can about energy. But what is so funny about that is I am not book read. Everything that I've learned from the angels. And so I think there's probably two books I've read cover to cover, and that's Phenomenon by Sylvia Brown, and then You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay.
Oh, I love that.
Other than that, I'm not interested in knowing other people's, although I don't discount their knowledge. I would rather hear it straight from the angels or straight from the divine energy.
That's great. And it's so funny because, again, I remember when you and I first connected, I was definitely not a very spiritual person at that point in my life or in my career. And that was right around the time that you started really focusing on this. And it's so funny how we're really seeing the merging of spirituality and business right now. I know some big tech companies now have what they call chief spiritual officers, people with similar backgrounds to yourself or different things. And you can use your intuitive abilities in business. And it's so upsetting when we don't understand our own energy and we don't understand, why do I feel this way? Why am I feeling so out of sorts or so upset? And you can't pinpoint it. And you go to doctors and you try to take the right medication. And if really you just spend a little bit of time reflecting or connecting with your inner intuition or guides, you might be able to get clarity on what really is the root of the upset, which is what we're here to talk about today is, you know, there's a lot of negative energy. I know I called you personally because in February, I was not feeling myself. I woke up one day and I'm normally the most upbeat, awesome, happy-go-lucky person, jump out of bed every morning naturally at 6 a.m. And I remember there was a day where I just felt like I could not get out of bed and something just was not happening. So let's talk a little bit about that. What happens if you feel negative energy? What does that mean? Is it me? Is it somebody else? How do you identify that?
Well, I want to back up because I want to acknowledge what you just said. You just said that there are companies that actually hire people like me to give energy consulting. First of all, I would love to do that. So if anybody's out there and needs it, because I do business consulting already, but to do energy and business consulting, awesome. Anyway, just putting that out there. But to look at that trend, that companies are finally paying attention to energy. Because energy is everywhere. Energy is every single thing that we are in, everything we sit on, everything we feel, every interaction is energy. Our entire world is made up of energy. And so to pay attention to that is extremely important. I mean, a lot of us will go into places, you know, so let's say we go into a workplace, and every time we go into that workplace, you know, it doesn't matter if we walk in happy, we go in and we're sad. Or we go in and we're feeling bad. And that is something we need to pay attention to. Why are we feeling this way? Is it one, because we don't want to be sitting in an office? Or is it two, something is going on in that company or with some people that are around us? And how you tell whether or not this energy is yours is, there's several ways, but one of the things that I like to do, because I'm very empathic and I'm sure a lot of us are, an empathic meaning that we suck up everyone else's energy and then we start to experience it for ourselves. But one of the ways that I tell is I will close my eyes and I will say, this is not my energy, I send it to the light. And I will probably say that 7-8 times and then I'll take a big deep breath. If the feeling goes away, then I know it is somebody else's energy.
Wow.
But if it does not go away, then I have to look at myself. And
that's
I have
not
to
fun.
Say, what's going on with me? Is it about what is this about what we're actually, you know, focusing on, or is this about something else that has nothing to do with work?
Yeah, it's you're so right, is that it's so funny, this movement, not just in spirituality, but just health and wellness. I mean, it's a movement. They have whole entire companies now devoted to creating wellness, both spiritually and personally in the workplace, of just having a healthy, balanced attitude towards work. And I think it's just right in the nick of time. In fact, one of my colleagues just sent me an article that was on Yahoo right before we got on the show about who is happy and who's not. And the United States is actually dropping in our happiness, which is interesting because from a capitalistic or market standpoint, we're earning more money than we were before, which some people would think, oh, money equals happiness. And that's so, you know, not true that we've, all the people I know, some of the people I know who make lots of money, their amount of money they take home has very little to do with how actually happy they are. And I think it has more to do with your internal reflection, yourself, understanding when it's your energy versus somebody else's, because you can actually feel like you're going crazy if you are taking on somebody else's energy as your own. One of my dear friends has been going through this for 3 weeks, and we just had a long chat about it. And she said, Jen, you know me. I'm normally such a happy person. She has a great job. She has an amazing family. And yet here she is feeling completely disoriented. And we figured out, and we got to the bottom of it at lunch, that it's actually somebody in the office's energy that she's been taking on as her own, which has been creating panic attacks, which I'm sure happens to a lot of us. It's either panic attacks or different variations of upset that can show up in our lives.
And you know, that's extremely important to recognize, is that, okay, so let's say that somebody in the office is particularly down, or somebody in the office is causing us to feel this way because we're absorbing their energy. Start to pay attention to how you feel, and then look around you to see, like probably that's how you guys did it, was look around you to see who has similar issues or who has similar feelings. Because let's say that you're feeling extra angry and frustrated and, you know, just feeling completely stressed out when normally you're a calm person. Well, if you look in your immediate vicinity, you can find a person who is, and probably several people, I'm sure, but you could find the one person that one you might actually relate to energetically, and two, that is pushing their energy towards you. Mm-hmm. I think you had mentioned, Jennifer, about pushing of energy and how people really are very receptive to energy and how it's pushed.
Yeah, it's something interesting is that we don't even realize that. Oh, yeah, that's right. We were talking about this the other day. So I just signed up for an amazing program. I intend to have Alison Armstrong on the show at some point. I know I've referenced her coursework throughout many of these radio shows that we've done. And I adore Alison. She is just this monumental, world-transforming speaker who helps people understand masculine and feminine energy in business, which I think is so important. Well, I think that's what you and I were talking about the other day, is that I just signed up for her mastering program in creating partnership in the workplace, and I almost didn't have that ability to work with her because there was a class I did with her about 4 or 5 years ago before I was doing meditation and working on myself spiritually. And I'll never forget, Shannon, I went into her class, and the first class I did with her, they said you could take notes on your phone, which in my case I really need because I cannot read my own handwriting. So I show up to the next class. I'm super excited. I've loved her material thus far. And that Friday, they announced to the class before we get started, oh, and by the way, you cannot use your electronic devices to take notes. Well, I just about lost my mind. I raised my hand. I said, this doesn't work. Have you seen my handwriting? It's illegible. And I thought that there would be a way to work around it, that they would still allow me to use my phone. And they said, no. Well, because I was less transformed then than I am now, and I was told I couldn't have what I wanted, I sat in the middle to the back of the room, glaring daggers at Alison and her colleague who were leading this program. And so for about the first 4 hours of class, even though I was in the back and it was probably 200 people in this class, I glared at she and this other person, not thinking twice about it, just making sure that, you know, in my own mind, I was steaming and pissed off about the situation, that it was known to those closest to me. Well, sure enough, fast forward that next morning, I go to get my name tag, and there's a note that says, "See Allison." So I walk up to Allison, not thinking twice, and I knew I was being a little bit of a pill the day before. And Allison pulls me aside, and she said, "Don't you dare ever send negative energy towards myself or my colleagues again. So you can either change your attitude right now and stay in this class, or you can leave and never come back to any of my programs again." And I was so grateful because I didn't realize the cost and impact of what it was like to be with me in a room when I was pissed off. And we all have that. It's like, you know, we call it the red mist in my case, but people hulk out or get upset about different things. And I had no idea the cost and impact. And Allison and her colleagues said to me, they're like, "We couldn't barely even lead the class because you were sending such, like, it was almost like I was undulating these negative vibes towards the front of the room." And I'm sure, God, the people who were closest to me probably felt it as well. And yet we don't think about that in day-to-day life, right? It doesn't occur that, oh, energy is this woo-woo thing that's out there that doesn't really matter. But when you're angry or when you're upset, people feel it energetically.
Absolutely, they do. And I mean, that's such a great story because Allison talks about, you know, the stages of male growth. And I'm sure she's very spiritual, but when you told me that story, I did not put the two together. I didn't think that she'd be able to feel it. I thought that she was more about the psychological side. I didn't know about the energetic side. And that was such a great story when you said that.
I don't think it's necessarily the best story as far as making me look good. But, you know, that's part of being a human being, is being able to reflect on your actions and go, wow, okay, that really might not have worked for people then. And thank God I'm in a different place now where I can reflect on my actions. And if I do get upset nowadays, it's more like 1 minute that I'm upset and I'll go out and go for a walk. And that's something I think important. If you do realize that you're the one who's emanating the negative energy for whatever reason it might be, I think it's important to be responsible for yourself. Because like Shannon and I just said, if you're in an office with other people, even if it's just one other person, that can really have a negative impact on your office environment. And so even my team, they can tell if I like get an upset or get a call from a client who's pissed off, they'll say, "Jay Hill, go for a walk." And that's what I do. I immediately leave the office. I walk around the block. I go outside, allow a few deep breaths, get some fresh air, and I'm a new human being when I come back. And it's better for everybody who's involved.
You know, it speaks volumes about you to be able to publicly first tell that story. Because I mean, it really shows your spiritual growth and your spiritual level, because, you know, those who are filled with ego would not be able to share that, share that story in public, because, you know, it's something that is a little bit embarrassing, right? But, you know, when you can share those stories, other people hear them and say, "Oh, I've done that before. And I didn't realize that I was sending that kind of energy to somebody." So, I mean, they relate to you, and it just speaks volumes of the type of person that you are, that you can say something like that and just show how much you've grown in the time that, you know, that you have been working on yourself. So I think that's amazing.
Oh, thank you, Shannon. Well, let's tell our listeners a little bit more. So there are a couple things that we want everybody to understand. Is like, step one, I think, is figuring out, is it your energy or is it someone else's? And then step two is looking at, okay, well, if it is your energy, like we talked about, you know, be responsible for it. Are there any other things you can think of, Shannon, that if you acknowledge the fact and you can see that in some way you're generating your own dissatisfaction, whether it's personally or professionally, what are some other things that people could do to transform that for themselves?
Well, you know, the other day I almost posted on Facebook and I refrained only because I wanted to make it a little bit more more straight to the point, because I kind of got off on a tangent. But I had been given the message from the angels of the concept of value added. And the concept of value added being that a lot of us are very quick to complain about a circumstance. And we're very quick to say, "Oh, this job isn't working and this person isn't doing what they're," and they're pointing all these fingers out into the universe. And when we point, we have three more fingers pointing at us. And so the big thing is to look at and say, what is the value that I am adding to this circumstance or to this situation? Am I adding a value or am I devaluing the process? And so, you know, sometimes just our complaining creates a negative energy. We are putting those words out into the universe and we are creating a negative cycle. And so I always say our thoughts, words, and actions create our reality. And so if our thoughts, words, and actions are negative, we are going to get negative back, because what we point out, we get back threefold. And when we actually add value to something, then we can look at it and say, okay, who else needs to add value? But until we can actually say we're adding value to this and we are putting all of our positive energy into it, sometimes I think it's probably us.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think there was something you and I were talking about as well, where if you do identify that it's not somebody else and say you're the culprit and you are the one generating the negative energy, how else can you identify if it's an old trigger versus a new trigger? I think we touched on that the other day when we were speaking about that. And I think it's important for our listeners to understand the difference and what that might mean for them.
Absolutely. I have a friend, and I've been doing a lot of brain research because I'm working on I'm working on creating proof that the metaphysics changes our body. And so we've been doing a lot of brain research, and a friend of mine, her client, is a brain specialist, and she was explaining her situation. They were having their own personal conversation, and the brain specialist said, oh, you were hijacked by your amygdala. She's hijacked by what? And she said, there is a part in the brain called the amygdala, which is our fight or flight center of the brain. And it releases a chemical when we are triggered. And she said that our brain and our amygdala cannot decipher if it is an actual trauma at that moment, a perceived trauma, or if it is a past trauma that is being re-triggered.
Okay.
And so we just react. And the other thing was, is that when that, and I had read up on this, when that hormone is released into our brain, within a few minutes, reasoning, actually not even minutes, within a minute, reasoning goes out the window.
Sounds
there
like
is
me.
No, you cannot reason.
Yep.
And your reasoning goes down from three possible solutions to one solution to none.
Wow.
And then you're in fight mode. And so, you know, that is a very fast progression. And then what happens is it actually takes 3 hours for that hormone to leave your brain.
Whoa.
And so you're still being hijacked until you can find new ways to deal with the amygdala and what's going on with that. And it's, you have to engage other parts of your brain.
So how would you do that?
And so,
how would you engage other parts of your brain?
There's a process called SOSS. And I've done some research on it, not complete research on it, but everybody can look up the process of SOSS and the amygdala, and it will tell you exactly. But one of them is so simple. One of them says, count backwards from 1,000 using odd numbers. So count backwards from 1,000 using seven. So you really got to think about that, and you engage another part of your brain.
Oh, got it. That's so interesting. I could see where it like would take your mind off of whatever it is you're fuming or upset about.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, I thought that was just so interesting. And the other one was finding something that you are particularly grateful for in that moment, which is really difficult to do, especially when you're seething mad, but finding that thing that you are grateful for. And I even thought of spelling a word backwards.
Oh, got it. Okay. I could see that would...
So it's just activating different parts of your brain.
Yeah, because you're right. It's almost like when the red mist, as I affectionately call it, descends upon me, I lose all my high functioning brain power. I could sit here with you and talk all day and have an intelligent conversation. And yet when you're in the midst of it, it's almost like you're this babbling 2 or 3 year old who's just throwing the tantrum. And that actually reminds me, there was something I learned as well I forgot about this. We call it the jellyfish. There's a program that I've done over the years called Landmark Education. And one of their programs that they offer is called the Wisdom Course. And in the Wisdom Course, it's all about play and fun and ease. And they talk a lot about structural language. And what that means is our bodies have a certain way of being when we're upset and when we're angry. So in some people's cases, they will ball up their fists when they get angry. Other people might cross their arms or become really rigid or tense. And so there's a million different ways that you or I or anybody in the world could be when we're upset. So it was hilarious. They said, if you change your structural language, which is the physicality through which you're expressing your body when you're in the midst of an upset, and this also works, by the way, if you're tense in an interview or any sort of situation, if you can structurally change the way you're sitting, what you normally do with your hands, etc., it's going to change the outcome. So here was the fun thing. It's not going to be as impactful because it's you can't see it visually, but there was this hilarious technique that they taught me called the jellyfish. And I kid you not, Shannon, I don't know if I've ever showed you this in person. You cannot jellyfish and be mad at the same time, because it's something that nobody would do under God's green earth, like intentionally during day-to-day conversation, let alone when you're angry. And so my husband and I, or my friends and I, used to call jellyfish on one another when one of us was upset. And then if you did this particular thing, it would immediately, like you said, take you out of that brain the way you're normally functioning and get you into a place of ease and laughing and effortlessness. And so what it is, if you can physically visualize this, you take both of your wrists and you put them in front of you together. So right in front of, say, your heart space or your whatever's comfortable for you. So your arms are now kind of like in a V, an upside down V, and they're attached at the wrists, and your fingers are kind of like off to the sides, and this is really funny. And so then you do what's called the jellyfish. So you wiggle your fingers and you move your hands back and forth, and that's what we affectionately called the jellyfish in this class. And it sounds like the most crazy, obtuse thing you could ever do, but I kid you not, if you can have anybody either call jellyfish on you when you're upset, or if you can bring an energy and attention and awareness to it, it just cracks you up. I mean, like, you can't even, I'll be in a fight with my husband and he'll say jellyfish and one or the other of us will have to do it. And you can't even continue to have an argument while your hands are even in that position. Whether or not you even move your hands, just putting them in that upside down V is something that structurally most human beings wouldn't naturally do. And so it takes you out of that aggressive or upsetting moment.
That is a great idea. And I mean, just trying to do it while you're saying it is making me laugh.
Yeah, because it's so silly. And again, if you can enroll your friends in like calling jellyfish on you or your loved ones or even your boss, and just have a little bit more fun and ease around it, because we hang on to these things. Something happens when we're a kid and we get triggered and we hold on to it, and we still respond the same way as a, in my case, 36-year-old adult that you do when you're a 3-year-old. It's just you're an adult having an adult tantrum instead, you know?
Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, that is like a great technique. And I had read one time on Facebook, you know, they post the funniest things, but they said the next time you're in an argument with a guy and the guy's mad as heck, and you say, can I put a cape on you? And they're like, well, why? And then you say, that way you could be super mad, right? And they said, if the guy laughs, marry him.
Oh my God.
If he gets angry, then, you know, don't. But I thought about that, and every once in a while, when I get mad at somebody, I'm thinking, I really would like to ask them if I could put a cape on them. Yeah. You just think about it, and it's really hard to continue to be mad at them when you're thinking about putting a cape on them.
Yeah, it's about shifting the context, whether it's yourself or somebody else. It's bringing awareness to the situation. The moment you become aware of an upset, that's the first step. You know, when I teach these classes to corporations or law firms, it's all about just pausing. If you can just pause in that moment before you say the next thing or do the next thing, and whether that's doing the jellyfish or screaming your lungs out, if you can just take that first step and pause, chances are the next step you take is going to be a more thoughtful, aware action than whatever it was that you might have done before. And so I think these are some great tips of just like how to handle it if you're the one who's upset. So what do we do if it's the other person who's upset? What are some other ways that we could disengage with somebody who's upsetting to be around, or whose energy, negative energy that you might be taking on, especially if you work in close proximity to them?
Well, it's so funny that we're transitioning into it now, because I kept hearing energetically, what about the people who actually it's their fault?
You know?
And so I'm glad that we're transitioning into this. The biggest thing that I can think of is that we are so quick to judge somebody else.
Mm.
So let's say that there is a boss who is irate, and he is a micromanager, and he's no fun to be around, right? And you're looking at him like, God, he's such a jerk, and I can't believe he's such a jerk. And we're right away, we judge him.
Mm.
But let's say that this guy who is, you know, has just, you know, maybe in the next past 5 years has transitioned into this more rough person, because maybe his mother died, or maybe his wife left him for another man. Maybe he's going through a financial hardship. You know, we are so quick to judge, but we're not looking at maybe there's something really going on with this person that they need to be that rough with somebody.
Okay.
And finding, and if we can actually start to empathize just a little bit with the person. Now, them walking all over us is not okay. I mean, that is not an excuse for them to walk all over us. But maybe sending them light instead of sending them negative energy might help them. And before you enter into the workplace, if you could just imagine the workplace being filled with light, and ask, you know, the divine energy or whatever energy you subscribe to help that person find happiness again.
Got it.
I have to say, I had a boyfriend one time, and his ex-girlfriend was in the picture.
Mm.
Would not get out of the picture. And I kept going, when is this girl gonna go away? You know? And so finally I said, you know what, I'm gonna do something a little bit different. So what I did was I actually manifested that she would find love.
Oh,
that she would find someone that would treat her like the queen that she was, and really just be good to her. A year later, I kid you not, she got married.
Whoa. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So along those same lines, there was a program I just finished up. It was a year-long program called Service and Contribution. And so the program started where you were supposed to look at 7 people to want to have extraordinary lives. Like, the whole point of the class was that having other people's success and happiness be more important, or as important at least, as your own, and to have those people be thriving and successful. So here was the funny part. You started with 5 people in your life who you knew. In my case, I think I picked my husband, a couple of my colleagues, my sister, etc. And then there was a number 6 person who you actually don't interact with, somebody who you have zero relationship with, but it could be a political figure or somebody you admire, and you want them to be successful. So you pick that number 6 person. And then here was the best part. You pick a number 7 person who you want the whole world to work for. You want everybody to have success except for that person. You know, so you want the world to work for everybody except for that jerk. You know, in your case, maybe it was the ex-girlfriend of your boyfriend. And, you know, last year for a lot of people, it could have been Trump or it could have been Hillary. And so the funny thing was, you know, we just completed this class, and every week we were supposed to write down, you know, what extraordinary things could happen for these people. Well, for me, you know, the people in my life, all you're doing is just engaging in a dialogue with them about what's possible. Or for the people you don't know, you're just kind of creating from nothing, like you did, manifesting what's possible. So the 5 people in my life just had extraordinary, amazing results. Ironically, my number 6 person was Michael Beckwith from Agape, who I adore, and I've always gone to Agape as my spiritual center, and I wanted him to have an extraordinary life. And then out of the blue, I'm now consulting with them. And, you know, they invited me to start participating and literally helping them be more extraordinary. And then number 7, I didn't have a number 7 person because I don't really harbor animosity towards anybody. But it was interesting because the gentleman at the front of the room said, how many of you had Trump as your number 7? And over half the hands in the room went up of, you know, they didn't want him to be successful, yet they were still playing a game of him having a great life. And he's like, well, look at what a great job you did. You know, A, here here he is in office. And B, what he was saying is that the whole point of the number seven person is the person you dislike the most, whether it's a political figure, whether it's your boss or a colleague you can't stand. The whole point of the program for this year was to look at the people who you completely disagree with and find something that you could get behind with them, like you could support them. So even though you might not like, I'll just use Trump as an example, even though you might not like Trump as a political guy or as his tweets or whatever it might be, you might love the fact that he's a family guy or that he's an entrepreneur or whatever it is. And so the point is that if you are finding yourself upset or sending negative energy to people, what if you could find something to play a game where you wanted that person to be successful? And in your case, like you said, you wanted your boyfriend's ex-girlfriend to find love, because then that was a win-win for both of you and it got her out of your hair and had her find happiness. So it doesn't have to be a negative thing all the time.
Very true. Very true. And actually, if you, what do they say? You can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. So if you decide to help somebody energetically, again, you're helping them. It's a win-win for both. But remember, when you put the energy out there, you're getting it back threefold too.
Yeah, and
so when you put out negative, you get negative. When you put out positive, you get positive.
Yeah, and I think so many of us just have hate, resentments, regrets, animosity towards people, and then you're putting that negative energy out there. And we saw it a lot in politics last year, and I would meditate equally on both candidates, irrespective of where I was at on the political screen as far as where I was leaning. I wanted both people to have success, so rather than sending hate or frustration towards a candidate whose political views I didn't agree with, I just meditated on them both having an extraordinary, amazing life, and whatever that looks like, that shows up for them. And when you fight light with light, positive with positive, all you get is more positive energy in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because there's just way too much heavy, dark, negative energy anyway.
Yeah.
And I have said this many, many times. It is up to us to be the change. It is up to us to take responsibility for our energy and for the energy that we put out and to be the change. And if each and every one of us took responsibility for our own energy and our energy that we are putting out into the universe, this world would change.
You know, I just got something out of what you said, Shannon, that was really interesting. Here we've been talking about, is it their energy? Is it your energy? And what I just got out of what you're saying is, it's always us. It's always 100% us. Instead of pointing the finger and blaming and saying, oh, this person's being a real jerk and therefore they're making my life harder, if you can just look for some way to be accountable of like, wow, what if I could look for the good in this person who I completely disagree with? Then you might even be able to shift somebody else's negative energy. It's not like a responsibility or something you have to do. It's an opportunity and a gift that you could share with someone else.
Absolutely. I have a good example. A family member of mine has a predicament and has made some decisions based on some stuff that's going on. And they're worried about, you know, oh, well, my decisions are going to be wrong because this person is going to do this. And so they're already designing the failure, right? Because they're already saying this person's going to do this and this person's going to do that. And my comment to them was, it doesn't matter what that person does. It doesn't matter if that person falls on their face. You have taken a huge step in your path towards positive energy. You have put out the positive energy. What they do with it is their energy and is their path. But you have taken your step in doing the positive thing. And I think that's the biggest thing, is it's us taking our step in, like you said, in putting out that positive energy and giving people the benefit of the doubt and really just being responsible for what energy we put out.
Yeah, I think that's
everything
great.
Else is everyone else's business.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there are a couple of techniques I know, too, that I think you and I have talked about in the past and that I definitely want to share with our listeners, because it's all fine and dandy. But sometimes, you know, you feel overwhelmed and you just feel like it's, you know, insurmountable to get over some of these obstacles, whether it's a person or a thing or a circumstance. And so there are a few techniques that I know my business coach, Julian, who we both love, has taught me over the years. One is the Ho'oponopono prayer, and that is, I apologize, please forgive me. Thank you for being in my life so that I may love you. And I had the only ex-employee that I ever had an issue with, and it just, you know, escalated and became this hateful, awful relationship that was once a friendship. I remember I had never been so frustrated, and I was blaming this person for sending negative energy towards me and making my life hard. And so my business coach taught me this prayer. I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you for being in my life so that I may love you. And again, it's called the Ho'oponopono prayer. And you're supposed to say that out loud several times a day. I would do it 10 times a day, visualizing that person's face in my mind's eye. And I kid you not, within less than a month of having done that, and sometimes it can transition faster than that, that person and I became friends again. And we're now friends again, and everything's been since resolved. But it's just amazing where the minute I was just started generating this energy of like positivity, and you know, when you're upset with somebody, to be able to say the words, I apologize, please forgive me, thank you for being in my life so that I may love you, it's not a comfortable thing. It definitely takes a little adjusting to, but when you break through that barrier, all of a sudden extraordinary results can happen.
Yes, absolutely. And I totally agree with you. And you know, even if, let's say that someone is giving us a hard time and they're being mean to us, rude to us, whatever. There's two things that we should remember. One, you can't be a victim and a leader at the same time. And so if you're going to be a victim of somebody, you're not a leader in your own life, nor are you a leader on your path.
Great advice.
And the other thing is that if someone is doing something to you, and let's say, you know, several people are doing the same thing to you, then maybe look at, what is the lesson I need to learn? Why did I put this person in my path? Why are they doing this to me, and what are they teaching me?
Exactly.
Because once we get that, the lesson stops.
You are so right. I forgot that. And my colleague or my friend and I were talking about this earlier about, you know, just looking at like, what is my highest and best good? I know that clearly I'm choosing this situation or this upset or this obstacle in my life. And how do I move through it? And what is the lesson? You're so right, Shannon. That's such a great point. It's about understanding the lesson so that you can move through it instead of trying to circumvent it, dig under it or whatever, push through it like all the things we do.
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect. And then two other things, other tips that I recommend to people. One is EFT. If our listeners haven't ever looked into EFT, also known as tapping, T-A-P-P-I-N-G, EFT is awesome. If you realize that it's something to do with you personally, like you were told at some point that you were stupid or that you're holding on to negative energy of your own, EFT or tapping is a wonderful way, and it's been proven by science. It's really an extraordinary tool where you write down things that are disempowering thoughts that you have, and then you tap on certain parts of your body. There are amazing YouTube videos out there about this, and it helps you release those past triggers, whether they're new triggers or old triggers that Shannon was referring to earlier, that can really help you dissipate that energy. And of course, then what Shannon does, you know, I use Shannon as well. I told my friend earlier that when I got upset, I had that experience in February. She said, well, what did you do? And clearly what I did is I went through a lot of these steps and a lot of these tools, and I'm grateful that I have people like Shannon, my business coach, my other mentors that I can call upon and help me see if there's something that I don't know, something that's outside of my periphery, and get some other additional advice. And so Shannon, you can speak to this a little bit about theta healing. I know that's something that you do as well to help heal past energies or current energies.
Yes, theta healing is a state where we put our brains into a theta state. And theta state is essentially like a sleep state, but we can actually be wide awake and be in theta mode. And so when we put our brains into that mode, healing is possible, manifestation is possible. It is possible for us to create change in our lives. And so a lot of my clients, when I'm working with them, I will ask them to close their eyes and breathe, and I'll even have them recite something because I'm distracting their minds so that I can put them into theta and I can start to remove things. Many of my clients will notice they feel a little lightheaded. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they get a little loopy. They're not sure why, because energetically we can start to move old blocks. We can move old energies once their brain is in theta mode. And so a lot of people have experienced big changes when we are able to start to move this energy for them. And so that's basically what theta healing is it moves old energy and old blocks that are no longer serve us.
Ah, that's awesome, Shannon. Well, I want all of our listeners to be able to find, what were you going to say?
I was just going to mention, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have on my YouTube page and on my Facebook page, it's a 3-minute meditation for theta in order to get your mind into theta mode. And it's free on my YouTube page for anybody that wants to go and visit my YouTube page.
We are so synchronistically connected, because that's exactly what I was just going to tell our listeners, is I want to make sure people know where to find you. So it's again, Shannon Leishner. Again, do you want to spell your last name for our listeners in case they want to look you up online or find your YouTube or your website?
Yes, it's LEISCHNER.
And again, your website is shannonleishner.com, and you can find Shannon on YouTube and download that meditation to do some theta healing work on yourself. If you wanted to hear and tune into some of the older shows that Shannon and I did together, I believe one of them was on July 17th of last year, that you can always find on the archive of the LA Talk Radio website, or you can find our other episode, I think we did the first week of October back in 2016 as well. And you can always find any episodes as well on iTunes. We are available on iTunes. You can subscribe, download, listen for free at your leisure. And it's at Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. Or again, you are welcome to download anything on the LA Talk Radio website as well. Shannon, any other thoughts for our listeners?
No, actually, just thank you so much for having me, and I send you all lots of love and light. I do have to go to my other radio show, too, but I love you guys, and thank you so much for having me, and anytime you want to discuss again, we'll do it again.
Awesome. I know I could talk to you for hours, and do tune in next week. We have world-famous author, speaker, coach, Deborah Shames is going to be joining us on the show about her new book called Out Front, How Women Can Become Engaging, Memorable, and Fearless Speakers. So I'm super excited to have Deborah on the show next week. And thank you again for joining us, Shannon, and have an amazing week, everybody around the world.
Are you there?
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.